was attacked by Islamic jihadists. I was in my classroom, the ag department in Pine Prairie High School. The art teacher came through and said, "Did you hear what happened?" I said, "No, I didn't. What happened?" "The World Trade Center was attacked." So I had a TV in the room. I turned the TV on and watching all the news footage, and that's when the second plane crashed into the second tower. It's true, you don't forget those things. 15 years later, we see the rise of Islam. We see a lot of the terrorists and all the things that have happened in the wars that we have been in. Does it stir in your bones that Christ is coming back? Does it stir in your bones that this is all leading up to where God is sending His Son to return, a second coming to gather His church together? Listen, we can't play off what happened on 9/11, but we can gain wisdom through it. And we can gain understanding as we heal as a nation, as we heal and we still think and grieve for children who have lost parents. We turn our focus to look what's happening in the future. Today we talk about Daniel 12, the last chapter of the book of Daniel. And it is a continuation of last week with the rise of the Antichrist. We see these things going on in our world. We see them building up. And most of us don't want to even think about that. Why, most people want to go to church to hear happy things. Hear things that will build us up and make us feel good about ourselves. Listen, there are times for that. There's times to hear sermons of repentance. There's times to hear sermons of encouragement and love one another. There's also times that we need to say, listen, Christ is returning, and we need to be prepared. We need to know what to look for, all the things going on around us when He returns. Why? Because it stirs, as a believer, it stirs excitement in us, not fear. It stirs excitement in us because our Savior's coming back for us. And it also stirs this fervor we have family and friends that do not know Jesus. And we need to reach out into their lives and share the truth and the love of Christ with them. If that doesn't get you excited and motivated to say, listen, all the things we see in our world today, that's not accidental. That's not just a world going crazy. That is part of everything that builds up to what Daniel, what Jesus and what John in Revelation talks about. If you have your Bibles today, Daniel chapter 12. From here to eternity, part 2. The last days to the return of Christ. Billy Graham said the second coming of Christ will be so revolutionary that it would change every aspect of life on this planet. Christ will reign in righteousness. Disease will be arrested. Death will be modified. War will be abolished. Nature will be changed. Man will live as it was originally intended he should live. That's what we look forward to when Christ comes back. It's not just doom and gloom. Listen, this is Christ, our Savior, coming back for His people. So we begin reading in Daniel chapter 12. Let's get the background on this. Daniel is out at the Tigris River. He's praying. He's having a prayer meeting. They've been there in Babylon for 70 years. He's asking God, you know, what's happening right now? Because you said in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet told us we'd only be here 70 years. It's 70 years. I'm not seeing a lot of movement going back over to Judah. We're not seeing Jerusalem be rebuilt. And this is when he gets the view inside the spiritual world, and he sees Christ and he sees the angels and the friends of his that were with him, 3 or 4 or 5, however many he had for his prayer meeting, were fearful even though they didn't see Christ, and they ran. Last week we talked about the build up, the Antichrist. We saw up from chapter 5 to verse 5 to verse 35 or historical facts, but we see how history repeats itself, and we can take a things that will be coming in and lay it almost right on top of everything that Scripture says and begin to see the end times rising. This 70th week of Daniel is talking about. Last week we talked about the Antichrist and the rise of Islam, and we talked about how they all came from Abraham and the two sons he had, Ishmael and Isaac, and how those, through all of history, came to be the Arab people and the Israeli people, the Jewish people. And we see today a continuation in chapter 12 of this conversation the angel had with Daniel. And at that time, Michael, the great prince, or the archangel, who protects your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the who's written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, those are Christians, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the other opposite bank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted up his right hand and his left hand toward the heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It'll be for a time, times, and a half time," it's 3.5 years, "when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, and all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I ask, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we conclude this book of Daniel and the latter part of this prophecy, God, we begin to see things during this great tribulation time. Help us understand more about it, Lord. Teach us more about what you have in store, God, that we can be prepared in our faith, that we can grow strong to persevere no matter what comes our way. In Christ's name, amen. There are four significant events that happen during the latter part of the end times I want to share with you out of this passage. The first event is this. There's a time of distress. A time of distress. See, the Antichrist will cause much distress during the Great Tribulation for the church, for Israel, and for the world. He hates the church, and he hates Israel. He hates the Jewish people, and he hates Christians. Why? Because Satan himself pose as a man. He hates everything of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise, and there will be a time that such not had happened from the beginning of nations until now, a time of distress." See, the great tribulation is this 7-year period when the Antichrist rises into political power, and the first 3.5 years are very peaceful. And then he is so peaceful, matter of fact, people willingly follow him. But then he sets up the desolation, the abomination in the temple of Israel. He even has a contract, a peace contract with Israel. And during this time, he goes and he sets up an abomination, his statue of himself or image to him of himself or his God, which is himself, at the Jewish Western Wall or Wailing Wall. He sets this up for the Jews, for everyone in the world to worship him. And it angers God. And he begins to come against the Jewish people. For the first 3.5 years, he will have peace through negotiations. And then, at the turning point happens at day 1260. Daniel, the Antichrist, begins to unfurl anger toward the Jewish people, toward Christians who will not follow him. And he fuels God. And you begin to see in Revelation all the bowl judgments and trumpet judgments coming across the earth. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, verse 15 through 18 says this, "And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast," the Antichrist, "to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free man and the slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the ones who has this mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. See, the Antichrist's name, his emblem or his insignia, will be across the hand or the forehead. Now, this doesn't mean it's stamped on a hand or stamped on a forehead. It could easily be a computer chip. And the only way that people can buy and sell during this tribulation time is if they honor the Antichrist as being the Messiah, that he is God. That is the only way that people can sell and buy. And the believers who refuse will basically be underground or basically be killed for their faith. See, the times will be horrific for those who live during the great tribulation. Those who are believers in Jesus will suffer with the Jews, and food will be rationed to those who bear the Antichrist's insignia. His insignia, his name, or his number of his name will be revealed at the time when the time is at hand. You see, there are a lot of people trying to figure out what 666 is today. And they often believe when they see that 666, oh, that's the devil. Actually, that's the number of his name. And the only way you can figure out the number of his name is when God begins to reveal it during the last times. So we're not going around looking for the big 666 on people's heads or their forehands or the palm of their hands. It's a representation of his name. See, Jesus even proclaims this in Matthew 24, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation," in other words, he sets up his statue. Jesus is saying this, "which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. whoever is on the housetop must not come down to get things out of their house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing with babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days will be cut short, no life would have to be saved. But the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Jesus begins to draw this connection that we need to grasp between Daniel verse 7 of chapter 12 and verse 11. And this great distress that Israel and the world and the church is going through in day 1260, which is 3.5 years, right dead center of the 7 years of tribulation. You see, you go down in verse 11, it says 1290 days. What's that talking about? It's a little different than the 1260. Yeah, there's a 30-day period that God gives for his people, 30 days for the Jews, for Israel, to abandon Israel and go over into the mountainous areas. And we read last week that would probably be Jordan, those areas of Jordan, because the Antichrist is coming hard and getting his military against Israel. Then we see another number in verse 11, 1335. After Christ comes back, there's a window of time that the Jews are called back together to receive Christ or not. Understanding just the differences in a few of these numbers, the conditions will be harsh, and many people will follow Antichrist because he shows favor and they bear his symbol on of his name. And the false prophet performing all these miracles and even getting the statue, getting this abomination, getting this beast to speak. It's a statue. And this miracle, many people flock to it because, wow, this one is performing miracles and he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be Christ, and they believe. The Bible says that it's so real that even the very elect would believe, really, and I'll paraphrase, if not for the power of the Holy Spirit to hold them back. Because it looks so real. It looks so real. A false prophet performing miracles in his name, in the beast's name, will convince multitudes of people that Antichrist is the Messiah. Matthew 24, verse 23 and 24 says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here he is, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders that would deceive even the elect, if possible. Great tribulation is a time of distress, deceit, and destruction. This is a time, listen, if there's anything you grasp out of this, this is not to scare anyone. It's to give us knowledge and understanding. And if you get anything out of this, strengthen your faith. Listen, your Christian walk is not a joke. We don't just come to church to hear some musing, hear a message, feel good about ourselves and leave. This is life and death. This is the way we live. Why? Our faith has to be strengthened. Why? Because tribulation is coming. There's coming a time that we pass through. Should we still be alive? That we, our faith, must be strong to persevere. All you good Baptists out there, you ever heard once saved, always saved? That old cliche? Let me tell you something. It's actually called perseverance of the saints. Those who are saved will persevere to the end. What has happened is we've taken that little cliche and made it like, well, they walked the aisle, they got baptized, and then they, you know, yeah, they went off back into the world and they just did whatever they wanted to do. But you know, once saved, always saved. I've heard people say that time and time and time again over the years. But the real truth, theological fact, is this perseverance of the saints. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you follow through with baptism. You persevere to the very end. Why? Because your faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, not in you. It's not just a little hoop that you go through. You go through the preacher, we go through the water, we've got it. No, that's not it. That's not the way it's done. And the only way that you and I will persevere to the end is Christ, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I can't understand why a Christian would stay at home on a Sunday morning when Jesus is being worshipped. Baffles me. Why we would just skip. I get that next week. Really? What if Jesus comes back while you're sitting at home watching the TV on a Sunday morning when the church is gathered to worship? Church, it's time to be serious about this thing we call Christianity. Tribulation is a time of distress, deceit, and destruction. The second event we want us to see is our hurry. It's a time of deliverance. See, the second coming of Christ Jesus is a supernatural deliverance of the church and the defeat of the Antichrist. The second part of verse 1 says, but at that time. So yes, the Antichrist builds up and he causes great havoc around the world. And there's distress and there's things that people are going through and it's hard. And Christians were being killed because of their faith. But we have to read the rest of the verse. But at that time. Can you say that with me? But at that time. Your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. See, the Antichrist will surround Israel and has caused great distress on all this nation. Their desire, the Antichrist's desire, and these other nations he has with him, is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and kill every Christian. That's his desire. Why? Because we won't bow down to him. Then the trumpet call of God will blow, and King Jesus and the heavenly armies will burst through the sky from the spiritual world into the physical. And immediately with the spoken word, tens of thousands of Antichrist's military will collapse in death. The Valley of Megiddo in Israel will be filled with corpses and military equipment that has been completely destroyed. How? By the spoken word of Christ. Some of you are saying, why don't God just do it now? You know why he doesn't do it now? Because there's some people that still need to be saved. And the church is sitting back, letting them go to hell. That's why. And he's giving us time and patience. He's giving us patience. He's being patient with us that we can go out, tell people about Christ, tell them about the first coming of Jesus. Revelation 19, verse 11, 15, 20, 21. You can read the whole thing if you want. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And who sat on the horse was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Verse 15 says this. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And the beast was seized, said Antichrist. And with him the false prophet, this religious leader who performed these miracles, these signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, who worshipped the image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest will be killed with the sword which came forth from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Listen, after all the havoc and all the destruction that Antichrist calls, Jesus comes forth, and just with his spoken word, can you imagine the earth, there's earthquake that would go on and just the repercussion that goes around the world, Christ speaks. A terror of Antichrist's dominance has come to a disastrous end for him and his false prophet and the armies that follow him. The armies were wiped out, and the Antichrist and false prophet literally just thrown alive into hell. The world is set free from the terror. And this authoritarian power, influenced by evil. And Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and peace will abide with the earth for all the millennium. For some of you say, what? Let me just give you the rest of the story, because Scripture here doesn't cover it all, but Revelation does. Jesus comes back. Antichrist, false prophet thrown to the lake of fire. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Why? Because he's going to be released again in 1,000 years. Christ sets up his rule on the earth for 1,000 years, and the earth is in peace, harmony for 1,000 years. But toward the end of that millennium time, see, there are children being born all through for 1,000 years. Satan is released, and then he's back up on the earth to gather the nations against God, against the Savior, against Jesus Christ. And then Jesus puts an end to it. And that's when great right throne judgment begins. Satan is thrown into hell. And then judgment begins. And then all those who died without Christ are now brought up for judgment. You see, then after judgment, eternity, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem begins. So some of you thought, so I just die and go to heaven. Oh, there's a lot left. Don't shorten the wonderful story that Jesus has. See, the third event we want to see is the resurrection of the dead. In this passage, we see the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead is the miracle of transforming the sin-cursed body into a glorified body like Jesus. Verse 2 tells us, multitude who sleep, meaning died, in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, I want you to understand there's a difference. That those believers will be resurrected when Christ comes back. 1 Thessalonians tells us that. For the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are left will be transformed or changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those who died without Christ are still in punishment, are still in Hades, awaiting the judgment. They don't come out. See, the return of Jesus Christ will be followed by this miraculous event. This is the resurrection of the dead that we look forward to. We resurrect Christ, Jesus resurrected. The resurrection of the saints of God will be amazing. The deceased of all the years will be called back to life. Those who have been buried upon the earth, those who have been buried out at sea, those who have had their ashes scattered, those who have never been found will be found. With new glorified bodies, Christ calls them out of the graves. See, the believers' bodies will be transformed to be like, to be a peak of perfection. Each person's soul that comes with Christ will be imputed back into his body. And we have this body that looked like Jesus after the resurrection. And get this, the glorified body has maximum intellect. As I get older, I don't remember quite as well as I used to. I forget words from time to time. Nobody's amening. I guess I'm the only one. But we have maximum intellect. We have instant memory. We have powerful physical strength like God meant it from the beginning in Genesis when he created Adam. We have that body. We have that strength. Full capacity to learn. No weakness, no scars, no sickness, no flaws, no blemishes, no age spots, and plenty of hair. Perfect teeth. No disease, no worry, no temptations, and no stress. Where can I sign up, Brother Kevin? Listen, that's the body that God gives us. It's not this body that's breaking down. It's not this body that fights disease. It's not this body that needs a few prescriptions to keep it flowing somewhat correctly. All of that is gone. We resurrect with Christ to a body just like His. A few scriptures down, the next scripture says, and they are illuminated like stars. When Moses came down from being with God and he had the Ten Commandments in his hand, he had a glow about him that he had to put a veil across his face because no one could look at him. Jesus, on a Mount of Transfiguration, same thing. When we're in the presence of Christ because His glorified body, we glow. And some of you thinking, wow, my legs are so white right now, I glow. No, beyond that. There's this purity about us that emanates light. We live through the millennium on earth through judgment in all eternity in this amazing body. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years was complete. See, the dead in Christ will rise first, and believers who are alive will be transformed into glorified bodies immediately. The lost are not resurrected until 1,000 years have finished. They are resurrected to judgment. Paul M. said this. He said, there is a day coming when all of the suffering and all the maladies of this life are destroyed. When we in our glorified bodies will live in heaven on the new earth, eternally fulfilling God's ordained purpose for us. Oh, you see. Not only are we delivered when Christ comes back, we're transformed with a new body. The fourth event, and I'm closing, is the Holy Spirit leads many to salvation and strengthens believers to persevere. See, the end time will be a time of outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where multitudes of people are saved. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 says, many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Scripture said that the mystery is sealed up to the end time. The mystery of Daniel is sealed up to the end time. Listen, the end time is approaching because why? We're beginning to understand more about it. The prophecies and how they are revealed to us. They come forth into reality. Many will miss the signs, yet Christians will learn about the end times and will discern the truth and what happens. Verse 10 says that many will be purified and made spotless. What I understand this to say is that the Holy Spirit will be outpoured upon the people and that many will be converted. They will be made purified and spotless. Why? Through Jesus Christ. That there's a revival that's going on. Listen, there's a revival going on even in our area. Listen, there are churches around that are baptizing like crazy. The Holy Spirit's moving. And it just begins to spread and spread and spread over and over. There's nations around the world where churches are filled with people every time they gather. There's a revival breaking on. Scripture also says there's a falling away. See, those who are not faithful, those who are not truly regenerated in Christ, those who are not true Christians, yeah, they'll come in every now and then. They'll warm a pew. They'll sit in a chair, hear some music. You'll see them 2 or 3 months later. They'll begin to fall away. But the Holy Spirit, the angel tells Daniel, there's a mass. There's many who are saved. Historically, the church has always grown when the church is persecuted. For 2,000 years, when the church is persecuted, true believers rise in faith and they share their faith. And because of their faith, other people begin to believe in Jesus Christ. So there must be something real in this. says, look, look at his followers. No one would die. No one would walk through that persecution if it were not real. Purifying the church. Purifying the church. You see, today we must choose who we will serve. Today, we must choose who we will serve. Jesus doesn't want people playing church. If every member of this church came faithfully, we'd be at about 4 services every day. Every Sunday, 4 services, full. There's almost 1,000 members of this church. I think we're missing a few. On average Sunday, we're probably overtopping over 400 now. Between 2 services. What happened? Less than half the church is coming to church. And this is not only this church, but that's every church. People put their name on the roll. Oh, I'm going to heaven now. No, you're not. Choose you today who you will serve. Are you consumed with your own life, your own happiness? Are you making selfish decisions that are leading you away from Christ? Today is the day to say no to self and yes to Jesus. See, the end is coming whether you like it or not. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you're ready or not, the end is coming. We've heard the prophetic vision of Daniel, and it is even echoed with Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and it's echoed in more detail, even in Revelation with John. It's coming. Are you ready? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving God? Are you serving yourself or are you serving God? Jesus had a lot of fans, but not a lot of followers. In today's church, there are a lot of people sitting in the pews who are fans of Jesus. They like the good things that Jesus can do. They like the character building things, but they're really not a follower. See, when life gets hard, you don't see them. Oh, when life gets good, you don't see them. Jesus has a lot of fans in 2016. Are you a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? Are you secure in your salvation that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Have you followed Him? You repented of your sin? Have you followed Him in scriptural baptism as He's commanded? See, a follower of Jesus will do as he's commanded and live your life to honor him. Are you ready today for the coming of Christ? You can be ready. Let's pray. Father God, today, it's eye-opening for us as Christians. Because, God, so often we skip around these hard chapters, these hard books, and we go to the things that seem to be easier. Learning to love our neighbors, and those things are valuable and important, and, God, we need to learn those. But, Father, when the hard teachings come up, it comes to reality for each of us. Are we truly walking with you? Are we just playing religion and playing church? Different denomination, different title of a church, but we're still doing the same thing. Nothing's changed in us, and God, you're a God of change. Father, today I pray for your people to make a decision to anchor themselves in Christ Jesus and live their life accordingly. And God, I pray for the lost who don't know you, who are still questioning their salvation, that they get it right, Lord, even today. In your name we pray. Amen.